Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we are going to be learning Vezayis HaBracha Sheni, the second Aliyah in Vezayis HaBracha. Today's topic is Moshe's Brachos on Levi and Binyamin. Our Aliyah is only five Pesukim long, from Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Ches to Yud Beis. Basic summary of our Aliyah is first and mostly to Levi. He says to Levi, Amar Tumecho V'Urecho Al Ish Chasidecho, talks about purity and light, the Urim V'Tumim, which belong to a man of pious nature. You're the one who tried Hashem at Masa and Memriva, referring to the tests of Moshe and Aaron, ostensibly. And the one who may say about his parents that he did not see him and his brothers or sons, he did not recognize them because he keeps the mitzvahs and the covenant of Hashem. He'll teach the laws to Israel and place incense in the face of Hashem and bring the consumed goods on the Mizbeach. Hashem will bless his army and the work of his hands will be appeased. He'll beat his enemies, Mochatz Masnaim, Kamav Masanov, Minyakumun, from being able to recover. And then we hear Uruvinu Minomar, Yishkar Hashem, Lovetach Olav, Hashem will dwell, Israel will dwell safely upon you, as Hashem Chayfef Olav, Kol Hayom Hashem hovers over you in Binyamin, Ben Kasefo Shachen, and between your shoulders he will dwell. Very beautiful, very poetic. Obviously, every word here, every letter requires precision and investigation. We don't have that time, but we're going to do a few basic points to ponder. First thing is, what is the role of Levi? If you read through the blessings of Levi, you will hear a number of different things. You'll hear that he is in charge of keeping the covenant. Some of the Mepharshim say that it means to say that during the time of Mitzrayim and even the Midbar, where other people of the Hebrew nation were not circumcising, they kept the covenant. They also are the ones who are in charge of teaching Torah. We hear about them also as taking action where it is needed. And finally, we hear about them doing the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. So this really seems to be the spiritual leader of Israel. Now, what does it mean that they will not recognize their families? Not knowing their father and mother, not knowing their brothers, his own children. What is this, and what trade-off? Rashi says this refers to at the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, where Moshe Rabbeinu called at the gate of the camp, Mila Hashem Elai, who is with me to God? And Iru Vashuvu, they had to go through the entire camp and eradicate anybody who had sinned at the golden calf with Avodah Zarah and kill them. And the people gathered there were Levi, and it could have been that some of the victims, some of the people who were serving Avodah Zarah, were in fact relatives of the Levium, and they had to kill relatives. So they were blind to their bias of family and in their keenly awareness of their godly standard and values that they were representing. The Klei Yakov says that it refers to those who are inducted into the service of teaching. Those who are rabbonim, who are mechanchem, sometimes have to their families, be blind. And there are many untold sacrifices in the spiritual work of forming and developing neshamas of Klal Yisrael, where people have to sometimes sacrifice much family time, which nobody will ever know about, in order to help the nation, the Klal. And that's what's referred to by Levi, is that sometimes they have to say, Ulaviv Ilimoy Lori Yisiv, that anniversary, that family barbecue, Lori Yisiv, not there. That's what Klei Yakov says. Rav Sorotskin says that's in fact the model of the most extreme version of this is by the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol cannot even attend the funeral of the Zion Krovov, of the seven most intimately connected people in his life, because of his service to God. Think about the Aaron HaKohen model over here of the Kohen Gadol. That's the extreme of what the cost of being a spiritual leader is. Terrifying thing to think about. Another question: who are these enemies of Levi that he is smiting? Who are these people that he is smiting? So on the one hand, Rashi says it could be those who are impertinent against the Kohen and Levi, those who don't think there is an import or there's a real role of leadership. Well, they need to be put in their place. You don't understand that it's important to have leaders who talk about things that are not just nice ideas, but actually ways to lead your life. Well, they have to be put in their place, because it's important for them there to be leadership. It can't just be that it's all kinds of nice ideas. There has to be leaders who actually say important things. Another possibility, Rashi says, is that it could be referring to the future of the Chashmonaim, who were from the tribe of Levi, who fought against the enemies of Hashem from the outside. So it's not referring to defending the rights of leadership, it's referring to defending Israel, Al Yedei, the Kohanim. Unklus translates the word Borech Hashem Chaloi, Hashem, bless Hashem, Chaloi, meaning his army, as not Chaloi, but rather his wealth, his property. So because the Levim served in the Beis Hamikdash and brought the Ketores, as among many other things, the Ketores was a segula for Ashirus, for wealth, so they would be incredibly wealthy because of that as well. Now, the next question is, why is Binyamin after Levi? So listen to the order of what we've done up till now. Reuven, Yehuda. And then we go into Levi, Binyamin. So how does this work exactly? So Rashi explains, because Levi was in charge of the Korbanos, so immediately after the Korbanos comes Binyamin, who hosted the Beis HaMikdash, which is where the Levim would perform their avodah. Rav Sorotzkin takes it further to one step further to notice that actually, if you look at the territory in the land of Israel, the tribal territory, it goes in the south, it goes Yehuda, then Binyamin, and then Ephraim, which was from Yosef, which is actually how the brachas go. It goes Binyamin and Yosef, which makes sense because that's the way it actually is framed. Levi operating in the precinct of Binyamin and Yehuda, and also Ephraim, because that's where the Mishkan was. So it all connects as well. Finally, what does it mean that Hashem dwells upon the shoulders of Binyamin? Rashi says that's the image of the Beis HaMikdash nestled in the hills of Yerushalayim. One last question. Why is Binyamin called the Yedid? Yedid Hashem, the dear one of Hashem. Actually, the person in Tanakh who's called Yedidya was Shlomo, who's from the tribe of Yehuda. Anyway, so the Ralbag explains two possibilities. One possibility is it's a reference to Shaul HaMelech, the first king of Israel, came from Binyamin, the Yedid Hashem. The second reference is that Binyamin is the only tribe who stuck with the southern kingdom of Yehuda when the northern kingdom split off. When Yerovam led the rebellion, the civil war, the cessation from the union, it was only Binyamin who stuck with Yehuda and some of the Kohanim and Levim. So therefore, that's why they are called Yedid, for keeping that focus, and ultimately they were not exiled with the other tribes earlier on at the time of the Assyrian rebellion. They were the Assyrian exile. They were later with the Babylonians, with the Yehuda to Babylonia. With this, we conclude Sheni. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.